Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Love Wonder Woman. Don't you love Wonder Woman's superpowers? Are they not incredible? I tell you, I love the lasso of truth. Whenever Wonder Woman puts that around people, people just start fessing up. Isn't that awesome? Don't you wish you could put one of those around your husband? Wouldn't that be cool? The lasso of truth. I'll tell you, I was a little disappointed, though. They didn't have the invisible jet in the movie. Yeah, it was a great disappointment. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but that's truly one of the great features of Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman has great agility and speed. She's fast. She's got those amazing bracelets that she can block bullets with. The shield, the sword, unbelievable, isn't it? Wonder Woman actually is an amazing character because she's actually born and raised on an Amazonian island amongst all women. And I still hadn't put all that together, but it's all women that are there. And in the middle of World War I, an American serviceman gets stranded there on the island and tells her about the threat of the German army and convinces her to go and to fight with Britain, America, and other forces that were on our side in World War I. And she does so. Now, she does so against the wishes of her mother and her family. Her mom doesn't want her to leave the island. But, man, listen, Wonder Woman, a.k.a. Diana, she knows that she's got some superpowers, and she's got to find her purpose with those superpowers, and she can't do it on that little bitty island. And so she goes and she fights in the middle of all the trench warfare of World War I and helps us defeat the Germans. See, some of you didn't know that. You didn't know we won World War I because of Wonder Woman, right? Yeah, that's the part of the story they don't tell you in the classroom. But the truth is that Wonder Woman is amazing, isn't she? Wonder Woman is a story about a woman who found her purpose and saved a lot of lives. That's the whole point of the movie. Found her purpose, saved a lot of lives. My wife used to play Wonder Woman when she was a little girl, and my wife has an identical twin sister, if you didn't know that. They would play Wonder Woman together. One would turn around with, like, you know, like business attire, like the old TV show, glasses, hair up in a bun, whatever. She would spin around. And then the other would jump out in full Wonder Woman attire at the perfect moment. Have you ever wondered, girls, how Wonder Woman's hair looked perfect every time she would spin around? It was perfectly curled and anyway. Speaking of, my wife's twin sister is in the house today. Ginger, stand up and wave to everybody. How about that? Is that the truth about Wonder Woman? Yeah. I just totally put her on the spot. Yeah, that really is her twin sister, okay? I didn't make that up. That really is true. Y'all can say hi after church. You know, there's one story in the Bible, I think, that really fits with the theme Wonder Woman. It's the story of a woman named Esther. Esther is the great hero of the Old Testament. She's the Wonder Woman of the Old Testament. Esther has a very interesting upbringing. She doesn't have parents. She's an orphan. She's raised by her cousin, a man named Mordecai. And she's a Jew that's living in Persia because the Jewish people have been exiled into the Persian Empire. And so she's an ethnic minority. She is a girl without parents. And she's a single woman that's living in a time that's dominated by men, and women have no rights. And yet God does something amazing in and through her life. You can never count God out. When God gets into the equation of your life, you never know what's going to happen. And through this unlikely hero, a powerful story of the Jewish people and of the Bible unfolds. We find in Esther chapter 1, there's a king by the name of Xerxes. Everybody say Xerxes. Xerxes. Xerxes, that feels good, doesn't it? Xerxes. Xerxes is the king of the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire is established from Ethiopia all the way to India. We're talking about the most powerful man in the world at that time, Xerxes. Xerxes was a man with a great physical stature. People said he was a huge man, but he also had a massive ego, and we're going to see that in the story as it unfolds as well. Xerxes was not a believer. Xerxes was a pretty crazy dude. In fact, at one point in Esther chapter 1, he throws a party for 180 days. Can everybody say partay? 180 days. Man, I don't know what you do. You'd just be completely worn out by 180 days. But after the 180-day party, he has another party, like a post-party, if you will, an after-party. And at the after-party, he and all of his buddies are completely drunk, and he decides he wants to show off his beautiful wife. And so he summons Queen Vashti to come and to present herself to all of the drunken friends of the king. And the Bible says that she was instructed to wear her crown. And biblical scholars are actually divided on the exact interpretation of this. Some believe that the king had summoned her to wear only her crown. And others say, no, that's not the case. She was just supposed to wear her crown. But for whatever reason, the queen was not enthusiastic about doing so. And she told the king no. And, you know, you just kind of didn't do that with Xerxes. Xerxes is so offended by Vashti because she won't come present herself, clothed or unclothed, to his buddies. And he banishes her from the kingdom. Now there's a vacancy. The king needs a queen. What's he going to do? He decides to throw a beauty pageant. He looks for Miss Persia is what he does. And so they find all the beautiful young girls in Persia, and they bring them to the court, and they, you know, get them ready for like a year, makeup treatments, spa treatments, oils, all types of beautification processes. And at the end of this entire experience, guess what? A woman named Esther wins it. It was the little Jewish girl, right? And Mordecai, who is her cousin that really acts as her father, tells her, hey, why don't you throw your name in the hat? And the Bible describes Esther as a very beautiful woman. She was very, very, very beautiful. Now, we're going to see she's really smart, too. Okay, she's got beauty and brains all wrapped into one. This is Esther. But she wins the heart of the king. She wins this beauty pageant. Now, she goes from nobody to the queen of the most powerful empire in the world. In chapter 3, the prime minister of the empire comes to the king and says, I want to kill all the Jews. There's this guy named Mordecai, and he won't bow down to me. And he tricks the king and kind of persuades the king, and the king signs off on it. On a certain day, at a certain time, all Jewish people are going to be wiped out, killed. This is a problem. Mordecai is kind of the instigator of this, even though he hasn't done anything wrong. Because, see, he won't bow down to Haman, the prime minister, because he will only bow to Jehovah God. And so Haman says, you know what? I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill all your people. So there's a problem. Esther is enjoying all the luxuries of the palace, but Mordecai, her cousin slash father, sends her a message saying, hey, can you intervene? We need you to do something. They're going to kill all of us. And by the way, they may kill you too. It's in that moment that Esther realizes that there's something that only she can do, and that is to go before the presence of the king. After 3 days of prayer and fasting amongst the Jewish people, she goes before the king and asks him to come to a dinner, a banquet. And at that banquet, she spoils the evil plot of Haman and delivers her people. There's a lot more details to the story. I just kind of gave you kind of the big cliff notes, the highlights. But I want us to see in this story something that's so powerful, because I know that God wants every person to find their purpose. Did you know your life has a purpose? God has a purpose for your life. Esther had a purpose. And what's beautiful is that God used everything in her background, everything in her past, and everything in her present came together at the exact moment for her to find her purpose. God has a great purpose for you. And there's two things we have to understand to be people that find our purpose and save many lives as Esther. And the first is simply this. We should relax because God is always working. Relax because God is always working. Now, how many of us have plans for our lives? Anybody got some plans? How many of us have some big plans, right? Okay, that's awesome. I do too. I love plans. Yeah, that's good. But you know what? God has a plan. And the most successful people on the planet are the people that find God's plan and do what God has said to do. And Esther's going to discover this. See, we can have a lot of great plans, and we can hustle, and work to do our plan. But oh my goodness, when we get on board with the plan that God has already preordained and God has already orchestrated, it's an amazing thing. Amen? Amen. And that's what real success in life is. Success in life is finding the will of God and doing it. Finding what God wants me to do and then executing it. Finding out where God wants me to be and doing it. That's what real success in life is all about. Now, in the story of Esther, we find in chapter 2, verse 17, God is working. Look at this. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women. This is God. Because God made Esther so attractive. And she won his favor and his approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen. So now God is putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Okay? No one ever thought this little Jewish girl would be the queen, and now she is, and she is the apple of the king's eye, if you will. And God is unorthodox. Have you ever thought about this before? The moment that you think that you know what God is going to do is the moment that you're mistaken. God has so many methods. God has so many different ways. God can move in the hearts of people that don't even know Him. God can transform hearts and lives and move circumstances. And you know, it's amazing because the book of Esther doesn't even mention the name of God one time. And you may wonder, well, why is it in the Bible? Okay, that's a good question. It's because the fingerprints of God are on every chapter of the book. Listen, just because you're not saying the name of God does not mean that God is not working. Just because you're not speaking the name of God doesn't mean that God is not busy at work. And so God is like the master chess master. He's putting all the pieces on the board, and he's moving them, and he's thinking plays and plays and plays ahead, and he knows what the opponent's going to do, and he's beautifully orchestrating this entire situation where his glory is going to be seen. It's going to be magnificent. So see, we can relax today. We can relax. Sometimes we feel so uptight and so stressful because we're trying to force our plan, but it's another thing to just realize God has a plan. God has a plan. That doesn't mean we don't work hard. That doesn't mean we're not disciplined. That doesn't mean we're not diligent in the things that God has put before us. Of course we are. But ultimately, we realize that God has a plan, and that for me to be successful, I need to find the plan of God and do what God has said. And God is placing you where He wants you to be. See, don't let your limitations limit your vision. Don't let your limitations limit your vision. Esther had every reason to think, I will never win the contest. I have every reason to believe I won't be the queen. You know, she didn't even have parents, for crying out loud. I mean, she doesn't have experience. She doesn't know the customs of the Persian people. She's Jewish. And there's so many other reasons why. And yet God had chosen her. God had picked her. Listen, when God picks you and God chooses you, you can't stop it. There's nothing you can do, man. It's awesome. It's an awesome. We need to find God's plan and do it. Find God's plan and do it. And the reason this is so important is because sometimes we hate the life that God has given to us. Have you ever looked around and thought, man, I wish that I had her life, or I wish I had his life. I wish I had a better education. I wish that I had a better family. I wish that I had a better opportunity. I wish I hadn't have been through all that I've been through. And it's easy to look at our lives. We see the flaws in our lives because it's our lives, right? and we don't see the flaws in everybody else's lives, but it's easy to want what everybody else has. But I want to submit to you today that God has a great purpose for your life, no matter what you've been through. No matter the heartaches that you've experienced, no matter the disappointments that you have endured, no matter the tragedies that you have gone through, God has a great plan for you. And so the greatest thing we can do is to quit trying to be like everybody else and to find out, what does God want for me? Did you know God has an awesome plan for your life? You don't have to sit on the throne of Persia for God to do something amazing in your heart. You're amazing. God wants to do something amazing in you if you will allow it. You'll just let Him do it. So see, we can relax because God has a plan. He's got a really big plan. And sometimes what looks like a disaster is God's greatest opportunity to work. God has a great plan. In chapter 4, verse 14, one of the theme verses of the book, it says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, this is Mordecai talking to Esther. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will rise from some other place. Isn't that beautiful? Mordecai has faith that even if Esther doesn't come through, God's going to deliver the people. I love that. But then he says, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made to be queen for such a time as this? He says, God has been orchestrating all these things. You hadn't even put it together yet, Esther. And what if God put you on the throne for this one fine moment, and that is to save your people? Esther's like, man, I just showed up at the beauty pageant, you know? I didn't expect all this. Wow. And the light switch goes on, and she begins to see with clarity, maybe there was a purpose to all this stuff that God has been doing. See, maybe there's a purpose to the chaos in your life. Maybe God has had a reason that He's brought you through the things that He's brought you through for a reason, for a purpose, right? And you don't see it when you're in it, right? You don't see it. When she's in the beauty contest and they're like, contestant number 3, you know, and she walks out and, you know, sings a solo or does whatever, she's not thinking of that. She's like, it's a beauty contest. But then later, she looks back and sees what God has been doing. God has been orchestrating this whole thing. It's an awesome thing. It's an amazing thing. So Mordecai says, hey, listen, we need you. We're counting on you, Esther, for such a time as this. God has been bringing you to this point in your life for such a time as this. The opportunity that's before you, and if you don't see the opportunity, you just keep serving God and keep waiting, and God will show it to you. Because it may be that God's just getting you ready, right? God's just getting you ready for that. But there's some things only you can do. I mean, I think Esther realized, I can't put this off on anybody else. I mean, you know, I wish somebody else could go and approach the king, but I can't do it. But they can't do it. I'm the only person in the world that can do this. And God's made you unique. There's some things only you can do. There's some relationships that only you have. There's some insights or some experiences or some training or some education or some circumstance. Nobody has what you have. And that's God's crafting of your life to put you in that place to accomplish His mission. Now see, a queen could not just walk immediately into the presence of a king. She couldn't do that. She couldn't just knock on the door and say, hey honey, can we talk? You know, wasn't like that. The king had separate quarters. You had to request an appointment with the king. And if you approached the king unannounced, you could immediately be put to death. And so this is the hesitation. Okay? This is the hesitation in Esther's experience. She's like, the last time I talked to the king was 30 days ago. I don't know if I'm going to get a call before then. But after prayer and fasting for 3 days, she gets the audacity to go into the presence of the king, risking her life, And the king extends the golden scepter, which is the sign that that the person will not be, you know, killed and lose their life. And she makes a request. Hey, I want to throw a little party for you tonight. Can you come to the banquet? And he's like, baby, I'll be there, you know. She's like, bring Haman too, the prime minister, okay? So that night, Haman, Xerxes, and the beautiful queen, Queen Esther, sit down to dinner. And it's in that moment that the king says, what can I do for you, Esther? I'll give you anything that you want. She says, oh, I just want one thing. I want you to not kill all the Jewish people. And Haman's the bad guy. Get him. They arrest him. They hang him that night. Oh, my goodness. The whole plan of God started to come together. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful, isn't it? See, some of you survived cancer. You survived the car wreck. You've been through all kinds of betrayal. God has brought you through that. Other people would have had a nervous breakdown. But God has brought you through that. That's your story. That's your testimony. That's your ministry. That's your calling. God's using that in your life, and God's going to continue to use that in your life. So no matter what the hardship is, no matter where we've been, God has something great. God's going to use where you have come from in a great way. So let's don't envy everybody else. Let's say, God, what do you want me to do? Even when we don't see God working, God is working. Even when we don't see it, God is still setting up the pieces of the puzzle in a beautiful way for such a time as this. For such a time as this. There's also a second thing that we see here in the story of Esther, and that is that we have to seize our divine moments with courage. We have to seize those divine moments with courage. How easy would it have been for Esther to have everything laid out before her and to say, you know what, I kind of like being queen. I don't want to go mess with the king. I don't want to put my neck on the line and go ask for him to revoke this edict to kill all the Jews. I mean, she would have missed her purpose. I wonder how many people today are missing the purpose that God has put before them because they don't have the courage to step forward in faith. I mean, that would have been a shame. God had done all these great things in the life of Esther, and she got right to the final exam and she failed. Wow. God, make us the people who are ready to be courageous to do the things that you've put before us. Amen. That should be the desire of every person's heart. God, thank you for bringing me through what you've brought me through. Thank you for teaching me what you've taught me. And now, God, I'm ready to go. I'm going to seize those divine moments. Listen, if you wait for those divine moments too long, guess what happens? They drift away. Unfortunately, the clock was ticking in the life of Esther. If she didn't get with the king soon, it was all going down. So we got to seize those moments when God puts them before us. Faith is not just what you believe, but it is how you behave. Sometimes you can tell who really has faith by what they do. See, it's one thing to say, oh, I believe in Jesus, you know, I'm a Christian, whatever. But listen, if you're really a follower of Jesus, it affects your life. It affects your lifestyle. That's not just something that you just kind of, with a cavalier attitude, just kind of say, well, yeah, I believe in all that stuff. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to live my life over here. No. When we're really engaged in faith, then guess what happens? Begins to change the way that we live. And Esther understood this. Oh, God has been working and moving. And maybe if God was capable of making me queen, maybe he's capable of changing the king's heart. Isn't that good? I love one of the Proverbs that says this, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. She recognized that. She recognized it. Faith is not just what we believe, it's how we behave. And there's a time to be quiet and a time to be vocal as well. Mordecai tells Esther, listen, don't tell him you're Jewish when she goes into the beauty pageant. But then when he sends a message to her about this new law that's about to go in order that is going to kill all the Jews, he says, it's time to speak up. Did you know sometimes as a Christian, it's wise to be quiet? But then there's also a time where we need to be vocal and we need to speak up too. Amen? Yeah. We need to be vocal in our faith. There's a time for that. Okay? And if we say we really believe certain things, we ought to stand up and say it. My first real experience with this was when I was at the university. I grew up in a Christian school in a very conservative Christian family. I went off to the university, and the professors my freshman year were saying all kinds of weird things about God and the Bible and religion and Jesus, and that really upset me. And guess what? I started raising my hand. I started, you know, debating with my professors, and they had like degrees this long at the end of their names, and I'm like 18 years old, but I'm passionate, you know. I'm fired up. I'm not going to let them talk about Jesus like that, you know. And I began to just kind of take a stand. We started a dorm Bible study when I was a freshman at the university, and there was nothing like that going on in our dorm. And Thursday night was a big party night. We had Bible study. Man, we had a group of students. We had all our Bibles out in the dorm. Everybody's getting all dressed up to go out on the town and whatever, and we got the Word of God open, and we're all praying. And I mean, it was something else. But God began to teach me something about being vocal about the things that we say that we believe. Too many people today want to be comfortable, and they don't want to do what is right. You see, we're asking the wrong question too many times. We're like, what's easy, not what is right. Edge Church is a church that wants to be filled with people who want to do what is courageous and what is right, not what is simple and easy. Not what everybody else is doing necessarily. And this is the heart of Esther. She's ready to go. Look at this in verse 16 of chapter 4. Though it's against the law, I will go see the king if I must die. If I must die, I must die. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to seize the divine moment that God has put before me. I'm not going to miss this opportunity. I'm not going to miss it. God has given you a courageous moment. Maybe you're the only Christian in your family, and your family members are like, why are you always at that church all the time? You know, but you have a courageous faith. Maybe you're a young married couple, and you're trying to figure out what it means to have a Christian marriage and a Christian life, and you're making some courageous steps. God bless you. Man, you're on the right path. Keep stepping forward. Keep doing it. Maybe you're in an office where you keep talking about the things that are right and true and the things that your business should be doing, and you're courageously putting your neck out. Good for you. Keep doing it. Keep on the path that you're on. Courage also helps us finish the things that we say that we're going to do, doesn't it? A lot of times we make promises to God, and a couple weeks later we don't even remember what they are. Man, when we have courage, we will step forward in bold faith, and we will stick with the stuff. We will keep doing what God has put before us with courage. Let's seize those divine moments to raise children, to love our spouse, to perform at work, to serve in the local church, to be a part of what God is doing, to be reaching friends that don't know Christ, bringing them to Edge Church. Let's be people of courage and conviction. Courage and conviction. God says, I will bless that. I'll bless it. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor, I'm just not feeling real brave today. Being courageous sounds really cool, but I'm not feeling it. Did you know that courage comes from God? Did you know that? This courage is not something you just muster up a little extra adrenaline. Courage comes from God. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. Yeah. Power, love, and a sound mind. Self-discipline. Courage comes from God. So if you're not feeling courageous today, ask God to fill your life with courage. Say, God, I need a courageous spirit. God, I need a courageous life. God, give me the courage to get through and to do what I need to do. Help me do it. One person can make a huge difference. Did you know that? Just one courageous person can set into action something that's amazing. Just one person. I was reading this week about the difference that one person could make. Here's a couple of interesting things. In 1776, one vote gave America the English language over German. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad we're speaking English today. In 1868, one vote kept Andrew Jackson from impeachment. And in 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the White House. In 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party. What difference can one person make? One person can do a lot. When we're filled with the life of God, the power of His Spirit, and that holy tenacity that leads us to be courageous. That conviction that God wants us to have. Well, Esther's obedience saved God's people from a genocide. But see, the hero of the book of Esther is really not Esther. It's really the God of Esther. Because it was the God of Esther that was setting up every situation in her life. It's kind of like the dominoes. I love to play dominoes. And I love to set dominoes up and to knock them over. I believe God loves to do the same things, by the way. You see, it was God who planned that there would be a little girl that would be born by the name of Esther. And it was God that planned that she would be raised by her cousin Mordecai. It was in the plan of God that God knew that Haman would try to wipe out the Jewish people. It was God who knew there was going to be a beauty contest. It was God who knew that Esther was going to be the most beautiful of all the women. It was God who knew that when Esther approached the king about calling off this destructive choice, that he would receive what Esther was requesting. It was God who intervened and saved the Israelite people. It was God. It was God. It was God. And all the way through her life, God was beautifully and purposefully setting up each one of these situations that was allowing her the opportunity to step forward with bold and courageous conviction. Because when Esther said, "I will go before the king," guess what happened? Boom. Everything that God had preordained and all of the plans of God were now coming to fruition. It was all a part of God's beautiful purpose. The Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus came and lived a sinless life. God had purposed that He would die on a cross, that He would rise again on the third day, and that He would redeem all who would call on His name. And now what we have to do is to step forward with bold conviction and to say yes to Him. We push the dominoes and we see our great need for Jesus Christ. He's a great Savior. God has a great purpose for your life. He has set up the dominoes, and He's waiting for you to push the first one and to say, "I will step forward with courageous conviction, and I will do what God has called me to do." Would you bow with me for a word of prayer?